Discovering Christ in Revelation, Chapter 6, The Christ of Patmos. A reading from the book of Revelation, Chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. The Apostle John had seen the Lord Jesus prior to this, not only with his natural eyes, but also with the eyes of his soul. He had beheld his Savior with the spiritual, discerning eye of faith. John saw the Lord Jesus in his life of obedience, in his agony at Gethsemane, and in his ignominious death. He had been privileged to behold the miraculous power, glorious transfiguration, and heavenly ascension of the God-man. Being taught by the Spirit of God, he knew what these things meant. Now, as he sat before his Savior in worshipful meditation in the Spirit, he was given this blessed vision of that one whom he loved above all others. Why is this vision important? Why should this vision of Christ, which John had so many years ago, be of any importance to us today? It is important and meaningful to us because this vision of Christ is a symbolical representation of the one who suffered and died for our sins. John immediately recognized the one who spoke to him as the Son of Man, his Lord and Savior. He was different because he was now glorified. Still, he was the same identical person, essentially unchanged. There were no thorns on his brow, but John knew the brow. There were no nails in his hands, but John knew those hands. There was no agony in his voice, but John knew his Master's voice. This vision represents what Christ is now. What Christ was when he was upon the earth is of vital importance to us, but what he is now is equally vital. Too often, men and women get so wrapped up in thinking about how Christ will appear in the future that they fail to recognize and adore him as he is now. As we struggle with the pains, sorrows, and trials of life in this world, we need to know what Christ is now, where he is now, and what he's doing now. The future will be glorious, both for Christ and his people, but we need help now. John's vision of Christ is of immediate interest to God's saints because it declares what Christ is to his churches in this world. John saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of his churches. This vision should therefore be of special interest to all who are members of the churches of Christ. Every pastor, elder, deacon, or teacher in every Christian church, every member of a local church should be greatly interested in the vision John describes here. It has to do with us. We are personally involved in it. What does this vision tell us about our Lord Jesus Christ? This is not a vision given for curious, speculative eyes to dissect and investigate. It is a vision for reverent, believing hearts to adore. The words of verses 12 through 16 are symbolic. They are not to be taken literally. They do not represent the physical appearance of Christ in heaven. They represent his spiritual dignity, majesty, and glory. The candlesticks are not literal candlesticks. The two-edged sword going out of our Lord's mouth is not a literal sword. The only way to interpret John's vision, indeed the only way to interpret any part of God's holy word, is with a God-given eye of spiritual discernment. I saw seven golden candlesticks. These candlesticks represent the seven churches of Asia Minor, which represented all the churches of God in this world throughout the ages of time. There is no doubt a reference here to the candlesticks in the sanctuary of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. The Church of Christ may be compared to a candlestick because it holds forth the light of the gospel in a dark world. It does not produce light, it simply holds forth the light put into it by the Holy Spirit. This is the privilege and responsibility of the local church. She must hold forth the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. That's verse 13. John saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the midst of his churches. What a delightful picture! Christ, our risen Lord, is ever present with his church in this world. He graciously visits the assemblies of his saints and holds sweet communion with his blood-bought people. He walks in the midst of his churches. He perpetually abides with his own. Christ rules as king in the midst of Zion. He is the head of the church universal and the head of every local church. He provides for and protects his churches. Our king is also our priest. Like the sons of Aaron in the tabernacle, Christ trims the candles in the candlesticks, causing the light of the gospel to burn bright and clear in his church. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Verse 13. This robe is like the robe of Aaron, a holy garment. It is the righteousness of Christ. Do you get the picture? Christ is ever in the midst of his people as a sin-atoning high priest. His royal robe of righteousness is a robe of his own making. It covers his whole body. It covers every member of his spiritual body, the church. The golden girdle that he wears is not around his waist, but around his paps, his chest. Christ wears the golden girdle of a king. It is a girdle of righteousness, faithfulness, and power. He wears the golden girdle of a prophet. It is a girdle of truth. And he wears the golden girdle of a priest. It is a girdle of love, with the names of his people inscribed upon it. How worthy Christ is of all our faith, worship, and love! He who redeemed us is ever with us. He is our king to rule over us and to protect us, a prophet to teach us and guide us, and a priest to intercede for us. And all that he does in love for his own. Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. In the Song of Solomon, we are told that his locks are bushy and black as a raven. Is there a discrepancy? Certainly not. In the Song of Solomon, the church, his bride, is describing the perpetual youth and strength of her beloved. Here, John is viewing his eternality, purity, and wisdom. He who ever has the dew of his youth is the Ancient of Days. In both passages, the picture of Christ is symbolical, not literal. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. This speaks of our Lord's omniscience. He sees all and knows all. And the all-knowing Savior has flaming eyes of love for his people. His love never dims or grows cold. And being shed abroad in our hearts by his Spirit, it warms, revives, and refreshes us. His love, like a flame of fire, melts the hearts of his people. Child of God, these eyes are ever upon you. He who sees all and knows all can and will provide well for his own. Yet these very eyes burn with wrath and vengeance against his enemies and ours. And his feet, like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. These feet of brass refer to the power of Christ to support and defend his people. The reference to his feet being burned in a furnace indicates that in all our afflictions he is afflicted. When we pass through the refining furnace of trials, afflictions, and chastisements, as all who follow Christ by faith must, our dear Lord is ever present with us, and these feet of brass will tread down all our enemies before us. And his voice as the sound of many waters. His voice is the gospel of free grace preached by his servants in this world. It is sounded across the waters, proclaimed throughout all the world. When sounded out, when preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, it is the effectual, irresistible power of God unto salvation. And he had in his right hand seven stars. These stars are the angels of the churches, God's appointed pastors, God's messengers and ambassadors to his people, those men who faithfully preach the gospel of his free and sovereign grace in Christ Jesus. Gospel preachers are compared to stars because God has placed them where he wants them, as guiding lights to point sinners to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, directing their steps in the way of salvation, and to give direction to his people in this world. These stars, faithful gospel preachers, are the angels of God to his churches, and Christ holds them in his right hand, in the right hand of the Son of God, the pastor of the local church. God's messenger is in the place of authority, power, approval, and security. Those men who come to the churches with God's message come with God's authority, do their work by God's power, have God's approval, and are kept and protected by God's mighty arm. They are in his right hand. Behold, God's messenger in Christ's right hand of sovereign power, and hear him say, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." And out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Verse 16. The sword is the word of God. It is a weapon of both offense and defense. With it, Christ conquers his enemies and defends his church. It is a sword with two edges. It cuts both ways. With one side, it slays our sin. With the other, our self-righteousness. It is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that pricks the heart and brings sinners down in repentance before the sovereign Christ. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. John had seen this before. It speaks of the purity, dignity, majesty, and glory of Christ, who is the Sun of righteousness. In the spiritual realm, Christ is the sun, the source, sustainer, and strength of all spiritual life. If you look directly at the brilliant noonday sun, it will burn your eyes so that when you look away, no matter where you look, you will still see the sun. In the same way, those who look upon Christ by faith and see the glory of God in him have sunburnt eyes. No matter where they look, they see Christ. What was the result of this vision? No one has ever had Christ revealed to him and walked away the same as he was before. When Christ reveals himself to a person, something happens. The results of such revelations are always pretty much the same. The flesh always withers before Christ when he is pleased to reveal himself. John writes, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." The same thing happened to Manoah in Judges 13:20, Ezekiel in Ezekiel 1:28, Isaiah in Isaiah 6:1-5, and Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. How blessed is it to fall at his feet as one who has been slain in his glorious presence. We are never so much alive as when we are dead at his feet. We are never so truly living as when our flesh withers in death before our great and glorious Savior. Every believer wants, more than anything else, the death of all that is sinful and rebellious in him. Christ, who slays the flesh, will always raise and revive those he slays by the hand of his almighty grace. "And he laid his right hand upon me." Life comes out of death, Revival comes out of withering. If you fall at his feet in the humiliation of broken-hearted repentance, he will raise you up by his grace. Christ revealed in the heart always brings a word of comfort and assurance to the one to whom he reveals himself. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. There is no reason for any believer to fear anything. Christ Jesus lived as our surety from eternity, died as our surety in time, and lives forevermore as our surety in heaven. And he who is our surety has sovereign power over death and the grave. He will protect us in all our appointed ways and keep us by his grace. Cast all your care upon him. He careth for you, and he will take care of you. Once Christ reveals himself to a man, he gives that man a message to declare. He said to John, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Then he explained the meaning of the vision John had. "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Everyone who has Christ revealed to him receives a message to declare to his fellow men. The message is always from Christ and about Christ, and the one who receives it understands it. We who have seen the Lord are his witnesses. Let us all who know him, young and old, men and women, go and tell the world what a great and glorious Savior our Lord Jesus Christ is.